Our guest today is the CEO of Tivity Health, Donato Tramuto, and we're talking today about aging and demystifying the social determinants of health to promote healthier aging in the 21st century. Let's talk about social determinants. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, social determinants, in its simplest definition, where you live, where you age, where you play, your financial makeup, has perhaps more determination in terms of your health outcomes than your genetic code. And while we've talked about this for 25 years, quite frankly, the majority of the healthcare dollar is spent on sick care. When somebody gets sick, we organize all of the resources and we take care of them. But if you only could address the reality that if you're living in rural America or you're living in a certain zip code, your financial makeup and all the other elements that determine whether or not you have enough money for food, whether or not you have access to healthcare services, whether or not you have friends or social connections, all of those now we have really uncovered, and that's why we're demystifying it at this meeting over the next few days, to really understand and to educate the public and to start spending money on well care and health care.
Social isolation is an important topic, and it's so easy to see how this can be deadly for anyone, but especially for older people, and how they can just wither away if they don't have that personal contact. But that's a hard nut to crack, isn't it?
Well, actually, it is not. And, I'm CEO of Tivity Health. I was the one that launched this, and I'll explain to you why. In our flagship program called Silver Sneakers, which is a program that provides physical fitness to nearly 15 million members, as the CEO, I have had the opportunity to go out and meet these seniors who are going to the physical fitness centers. What we've done is we've organized nearly 16,000 gyms and fitness centers to be part of the network that we make available to these 15 million plus seniors. And I wish I could share with you that they're going to the gyms because, you know, they're bench pressing 150 pounds. Yes, they're going there and they're exercising, but they're going there because of the social connection. So my point is, these resources are out there. And we have nearly 15 million thanks to the Medicare Advantage plans who have fulfilled that promise to really address, you know, well-being and to address the holistic perspective of their members. They offer this for free, but yet out of the 15 million that get the program for free, only about 3.6 million have registered. And so our job is to get the information out there. And that's only one example. There are plenty of services that are available. But, you know, I think we have to, you know, also, you know, break down when we talk about social isolation. We also have to talk about its twin sister, loneliness.
Yeah.
And those two are quite different. The new chronic condition of the 21st century is loneliness. And there are two segments to loneliness. One that you just surfaced, which is social isolation, that you're isolated and you just can't get out. And the other is that you could have 25, 30 friends, but you feel lonely. And so we have an enormous problem in front of us. However, the solutions are within our reach. When the United Kingdom appoints a Minister of Loneliness, this is not just a U.S., you know, epidemic. And it's not just hitting the old. It's hitting the young.
A Minister of Loneliness. Wow.
Yes, a Minister of Loneliness.
You could look at it in two ways. Either from the outside, those of us who may see somebody who is isolated, who isn't getting out, we haven't seen her or him in a while, we could do something. But also, how can you get an older person to get out of the house, to make that foray off the couch and to get out there and get talking to people?
Well, first of all, loneliness has to come out of the closet. And what I mean by that is nobody, you know, I was a speaker a few months ago at a conference in Los Angeles, and it was on this very topic. And there was about 600 people in the audience. And I asked them, you know, who in this room has ever experienced loneliness or isolation? Only a few raised their hands, and I said, that's a bunch of rubbish, and I'll tell you why. I'm CEO of a public company. I have a wonderful family, friends, a wonderful partner. I sit on 9 boards, and I have experienced loneliness. And so we're, for whatever reason, we're ashamed to admit it. And that's part of what this Connectivity Summit is all about, is to make it safe. The other part that I'll be very honest with you is that the relevance of individual stories, for whatever reason, we thought that the mobile devices and technology would really connect folks. But what we're finding is that there's less eye contact being made. Individuals are not taking the time to listen to stories. I wrote a book a few years ago, and what I learned in writing the book was that it was a story. And as I went out and I promoted the book, what I was learning is how many people felt comfortable after I shared my story. They felt comfortable sharing their story, and they felt like they were relevant. Now, you turn 65, you retire, you've lost your passion with respect to work. Your loved one, your spouse may have now died. Your children move away. It's an accumulative factor that really leads to loneliness. And so I think, A, we have to make it safe for people to raise their hand and say, I'm lonely. For me, it's a personal passion. My parents, my father died 26 years ago, and my mother, within 7 months, lost 40 pounds and died 7 months later.
Oh.
Here I am, an executive in healthcare, and I missed all the warning signs of her loneliness, her food insecurity. And my mom was not going to raise her hand and say, I'm lonely. This was a very strong, faith-filled woman. And so we have to make it comfortable. And that's part of what we're doing this week. And once we make it comfortable, then we have to really take the time to look at the holistic perspective of that individual. And yes, some might want to connect to the Silver Sneakers program. Some might want to connect to different community programs. But, you know, Yogi Berra once said, you can observe a lot by watching. And I think that there are many individuals that go into the home of a senior. It may be, you know, the person who delivers their mail. It might be, you know, Meals on Wheels. You got a quintessential opportunity to really ask the right questions. And that, by the way, is what a lot of health plans are doing. They've come up now with, you know, questions that they're asking members, and they're getting to the heart of recognizing that if you ask the right questions, you pretty much can get to that, you know, determination that they're either isolated or they may be suffering from loneliness.
What kinds of questions can you ask? Because like you mentioned earlier, a lot of people don't want to admit it.
When was the last time you had a connection with someone? There are a series of, and UCLA has developed a whole questionnaire of what type of questions you can ask. Because you're not going to, if you ask if somebody's lonely, they're not going to come out with it. But there are other questions that policymakers have studied. And I really do applaud Humana as one of the health plans that is in partnership with my company right now. And we are experimenting and asking these questions. And it's very interesting. You can get to, you know, very interesting. Our oldest member who passed away last year, she was 103. She started the Silver Sneakers program when she was 89.
Wow.
And that got started by a friend. You know, she lost her daughter, who she had taken care of for her entire life. The daughter had some physical challenges. But a neighbor asked the right question. Are you feeling like you're connected now? And, you know, Van said no. And she said, I'm taking you to Silver Sneakers. I went to her 103rd birthday. She had 75 Silver Sneaker friends dancing with her.
Fabulous.
And so we, for whatever reason, when you look at it, I think this is a human rights issue. I will be chairing a panel today that I think aging in America and giving them the right to age with dignity and addressing the issues that are, you know, just as prevalent in the younger population, violence among the elderly, poverty among the elderly, the fact that they have, you know, lack of, you know, transportation to healthcare services. These are variables that we can address. It just needed to be heightened to the level that we've taken it to over the last 3 years.
And I guess, as you mentioned, being persistent in saying, you know, come out with me, come on, let's go get a cup of coffee, and to be consistent, maybe stopping by every Monday or whatever.
And just making a phone call. You know, one of the things that we've done, we've changed, you know, the Silver Sneakers program, normally we have only taken inbound calls. When I became CEO, I changed that. Now we make millions of outbound calls. And you would be amazed at how many of these seniors look forward to that call. And so it doesn't even have to be sometimes a visit. It's just really, making a call. And, I think that's what happened with my mom, is that, quite frankly, she had always been the social butterfly. But, what you don't realize and what I have realized now is when you lose your spouse, the whole dynamics change among your friends. And that happened with my mother, is that, and I didn't know why, and it's funny, you'll get a kick out of this. But as I, went out and visited seniors, and I wanted to kind of compare what happened to my mother with what is happening with other, individuals where they lose their spouse. And I asked them, why do people stop coming over? And you're going to be shocked by the answer, is that if you lose your husband, you want your friends to come over, but the friends don't want to come over because they're afraid that, you may take their husband. And it's just really interesting of the dynamic that when you age, you pretty much, recognize that your situation changes, and your friends may stay away because they're afraid that, I'm married to this man, and, you've lost your husband, and, I may lose my husband to you. And so you've got to really understand the dynamics and recognize the challenges that they are experiencing. And once you do that, then you can really begin to connect them to the kind of services that they need. I remember eulogizing my mom, and I'll be honest with you, I was quite upset that, so many of my relatives who were married stayed away. And then the light bulb went off when I became CEO of this company that it does make sense. And, this one woman said, hey, I'm not kidding. There's fewer men out there, and there's a lot of, women who are all alone, and, I'm not going to lose my husband. And it's very funny. And so if you know that, then it is a quintessential opportunity to introduce these, seniors that are going through significant changes to new friends.
This is so important. It's an important consideration for all of us if we are older ourselves or if we know somebody who is. So what would you suggest is a good way of getting involved or doing something to help? How can we start?
I think everyone knows a senior on the street, an older person who has lost a loved one. You know, the other issue that we're being faced with right now is the nearest caregiver to a loved one has been estimated now to be about 265 miles away.
Oh.
So we know that, 265 miles. So, what we're trying to do is that there's a lot of, community services in the area. And it's amazing. We started this summit 3 years ago, and there was only 70 people that attended. Last year, there was 150. This year, it's close to 250. And so getting the word out and educating individuals that, just because you're 70 years old, I mean, look at, this woman I spoke about, Van, she was 89 when she, joined the gym.
Yeah.
That, 70, 80, 90 is no longer, considered, well, you can't do things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to really, A, recognize that there is a significant issue out there called loneliness. And that education, I think, has been escalated significantly over the last year, year and a half. And then really helped individuals understand that there are programs like Silver Sneakers. There's programs, as I said before, Meals on Wheels, that can help to bring food into the home. But we're not, thinking that we have to invent, the next space shuttle here. We just have to get the awareness out there and get the education out there. And that's what you're doing by this interview here today. I do think that my optimism is far greater today than it was 3 years ago.
So where can we go for help?
Yeah, you can, if you just Google Silver Sneakers, the individual will see. And, I'll leave you with this last thought. Do you know the biggest complaint I get from the fitness centers?
Hmm.
We have 16,000 fitness centers that are in the program. Is that they serve too much coffee. what that is signaling is that these seniors are going not to work out. They're making friends. And so these landmark programs, this has been around for 25 years, and there's other programs in communities, but I think that a good place, would be to Google Silver Sneakers and, get the, individual to, see if they qualify and to begin to, connect. Because once they're in the Silver Sneakers program, we have a quintessential opportunity to address some of these other issues, food insecurity, loneliness, and inactivity.
And put on the coffee, please. Anything else you want to add?
I took her out to dinner. And I went back to her home, our home, and she put the key in the keyhole, and she looked at me, and she said, "There's a missing link." Now, why I did not pick up on that, but because, you know, my mother, you know, a very religious woman, she had a lot of faith, you know, seven children, I never in my wildest dreams ever thought that what she was telling me was, you know, I'm lonely. And, you know, today I now make sense out of it. But there are signals, there are signs. Did you see what happened 3 days ago in Washington State? An elderly couple, you know, he killed his wife and he committed suicide because they could not pay for their medication. You get to an age of 80, and the only alternative and option you have is that you take your own life. And so this is, to me, and, you know, why I'm so passionate, you could probably tell, it's a human rights issue for me, and it's a, you know, an issue that has to be addressed.
And maybe what happened with your mother, look at what you're doing now.
Well, no, and that's, you know, my hero, Robert Kennedy, once said, you know, if you want change, you have to, you know, be angry enough to want it. And I think you're right. You know, I do think, and maybe it's also because I'm 63 and I'm, you know, inching toward that, you know, next chapter in my life, that, you know, I hope that the programs are there for me and others. So you're right. My mother's situation has put a significant passion in my own professional career to do something.
I'm so glad. And I'm so glad we spoke today.